Yes, but I mean, two great games so far. I mean, LSU blew out to a 14-point halftime lead, and as the LSU is want to do, you know, just kind of hit an offensive spell where they just kind of resort to, like, playground one-on-one, and Yale came back. Yale was terrible from the three-point line the whole game, and then they hit four threes in the span of about 29 seconds in the final minute. And but LSU made their free throws. They were 9 of 10 you know, in the last minute, and then they pulled the game out 79-74. So they were happy to move on. They were relieved to move on. They need to play better than that to beat Maryland. And I mean, hats off to Belmont, man. Belmont is so much fun to watch, and they're so gutty, and the way they, I mean, coming here and really almost win the game after, you know, traveling. I mean, playing two tonight and winning, and coming here traveling yesterday. It's just, that's a tribute to how good that team is and how great a coach Rick Byrd is.
Yeah, one-point game, and it's a turnover in the waning, what, 7-8 seconds,
yeah.
A pass that went straight to the Maryland player inside there. And, I mean, that's a difference. But you certainly hats off to Rick Byrd and his crew. I mean, I really felt going in, I mean, Belmont had the lead at halftime. I just really felt like Belmont was the better of the two teams. I really expected Belmont to advance.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the, you know, I thought they might. I just like the way they play, you know. And then, you know, the turnover late there, you know, that's what happened for Belmont, because they, you know what, they do actually, they're disciplined enough to run an offense. But they, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're going to run the play and look for the cutter. Now, a lot of teams would have a guy jack up a shot. It might have gone in, might not. But, you know, to the very end, Belmont was running their offense. And, you know, they thought they had something there, and he was trying to make a play. And you can't fault them for that. It came within the context of the offense. I mean, he was trying to hit the cutter like he was coached.
Go back to the LSU win over Yale. LSU had the big lead at halftime, 45-29. Yale awful from three-point range today, 8-37. The Ivy League Player of the Year, only 1 of 10 from three-point range, 2 of 16 from the field. I mean, you look back at that number, 8-37. If you just add 2 to that, we're talking about a different game there between Yale and LSU. But, you know, we've seen a lot of teams over the years advance to the Final Four where they've struggled in their very first time out. I thought the Auburn Tigers, you know, I thought one of the biggest challenges that they were going to face was being able to get back down to earth after winning the tournament this past weekend. And certainly they got tested against New Mexico State earlier today as well.
Yeah, I got to admit, I picked New Mexico State to win that game. I just thought, like you said, Auburn was coming off that game, and New Mexico State were pretty primed for that game. You know, like with Yale, I mean, they were 8-37, and 4 came in the last minute.
Right.
3. And you got to credit LSU for Marlon Taylor did a great job of Mayone. Just did a great defensive job on him. And really, I mean, you got to credit Cavell Digby-Williams for kind of clogging the middle. And honestly, he had a couple of blocks early, and Yale just didn't really want to go in there. I mean, look at Yale's stats. I mean, more than half of their field goal attempts were from three-point range. They just couldn't get the ball inside that much, and they settled. And but LSU didn't pull away. Credit Yale too. They played really good defense second half and made LSU kind of grounded their offense to a halt. And if LSU doesn't play pretty decent defense down the stretch, I mean, they lose this game too. So it got like the final 10 minutes, and it seemed like both teams just couldn't score until like the last minute and a half when, you know, both teams started hitting some shots again.
What do you feel like this win does for LSU? The fact that certainly tested in the first go-around, they advance, and that's the thing that you want to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be pretty as long as you advance. What do you feel like this win does as far as a confidence standpoint for LSU?
Well, I think the confidence standpoint, I mean, it really helps him greatly because, you know, I mean, I know everybody questioned whether they'd even get out of the first round here. I mean, everybody, Yale was a trendy pick to beat LSU. And that was based on basically everybody thought LSU would fold up without Will Wade as head coach. And I mean, this team just kind of plays through that kind of stuff. And I mean, you could say they almost lost today, but look, LSU's played this way all year. I mean, they can. It looks like within a matter of three possessions, they can win a game, lose a game, and win a game. It's kind of like the way they play. You just kind of got to hang on for the ride until the ride stops, and you hope LSU wins if you're an LSU fan. Like today, it is, you know, they're breezing along, and then all of a sudden they go off the tracks for a while, then they come back on just long enough to win. It's kind of like with this whole year has gone really for LSU. And so, yeah, but they're happy to get this win, but they know they got to play better. I got to play better Saturday to go to the Sweet 16.
Tony Benford, you know, this is only the second game as head coach. He coached LSU in the SEC tournament, and that was certainly not the results that LSU fans wanted. How big of a relief and the monkey off the back was this win today?
Well, it was good. I mean, of course, he coached the last regular season game against Vanderbilt, and that was his game, too. This was a relief. I mean, he's getting a lot of, help from assistant coaches, and he's kind of like the front man, the voice. And so it helped. There's some times you think that, you know, Will might have done something different, but this team doesn't just, I said, they just kind of play through that kind of stuff, and they just go play basketball and played hard to the end and happened to win. I mean, like I said, this game could have gone the other way too, but more often than not in these games, LSU wins these games because they do make plays in the final, final 5 or 6 minutes, and especially in the last minute when they're usually pretty good as far as free throw shooting.
Coming up tonight from Jacksonville, although these two games will be in the Midwest region, whereas the two earlier games impact the East region, Kentucky, a 2 seed against Abilene Christian, the 15 seed, and the Kentucky Wildcats will be without the services of P.J. Washington with the foot injury. Is this a one-game situation, or could this impact Kentucky moving forward as long as they advance tonight? Could this impact Kentucky on Saturday as well?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think this is a thing that they would like to sit him out this weekend. First, he was in a walking boot, and then they put him in like a cast. And if you go from a walking boot to a cast, it's a little bit more severe. And I think they're hoping that they can get through this weekend without having to use him, and hopefully, maybe have him back, next week wherever they are. And I do think they can get through this weekend without him. It's just that. It's a kind of thing that kind of it's a big piece of your puzzle, especially for them. Even though they have talented people come up with them, it's hard to fill that. All the things he does. So they do have talent, and whoever's next has got to step up for Kentucky to move on. And I anticipate they will. I mean, to me, the big story tonight is Abilene Christian coach. He has one suit and has a rip in his pants.
Yeah, did he ever find – I noticed that somebody wanted to start the GoFundMe campaign, and I think the problem was there was only, one store in the hometown of Abilene Christian that has and offers suits, and I don't think they could get that done. Did anybody come to his rescue as far as in time for this game tonight?
No, I think he's going to wear his same one suit with the torn pants and – he probably could have bought one here, but he couldn't afford one. I mean, he gets $1,000 bonus for advancing the NCAA tournament, but it's not paid to him until June. So he goes, that doesn't do me any good, really. It's a really good story, and it's the kind of stuff about the NCAA tournament I love. It's all the little side stories like that, and you hope they can hang with Kentucky for a while, and maybe he won't rip a bigger hole in his pants.
Well, here's the thing. I think the Jacksonville fans are getting treated to, I'm not anticipating Abilene Christian keeping this game close against Kentucky, But when you look at what Yale was able to do earlier, along with Belmont, and then the second game tonight after Kentucky, you're talking about a Wofford team that's actually the higher seed. They're a 7 seed, 29-4 on the year, taking on Seton Hall, the 10 seed. And I like Wofford to advance and take on Kentucky on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, in this tournament, especially in the first round, there are very few games that are blowouts. I mean, there's a lot of games where it's pretty tight all the way to like about 10 minutes left in the game. I mean, in a lot of cases, and in a lot of other cases down the stretch too. I mean, anybody who wins by double digits, you know, 10 or 11 points in this tournament, it's like 20 any other time of the year, because that's how hard it is. There's just something about it, whether it's the nerves of playing in the NCAA tournament, or the fact you're playing someone you've usually have never seen before, haven't played before this year, or hadn't played in a while, the unfamiliarity of an opponent kind of throws you off. So all those little factors that come in play, the first and second game, especially the first, that's what makes this tournament interesting and why they have upsets.
Well, the other thing, too, I mean, first of all, Wofford has won, 20 straight games. They're the second-best three-point shooting team in the country, making over 40% from three-point range. Just to put that in proper perspective, if they're doing that tonight or in any game for that matter, if we're talking about them advancing, if they're shooting 40% from three-point range, let's say they're four out of 10 from that's what that stat would work out, that's 12 points. That means if you're not attempting threes, you have to shoot 60% from two-point range just to be able to combat that. And that's why when you've got a hot three-point shooting team, and certainly Wofford fits into that, Wofford can beat anybody if the threes are going down.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think this I agree with your pick of Wofford. I just think I think if they play like Wofford plays, they play all this year, then they should advance. They should get past Seton Hall. And then, you know, then we'll see the Kentucky game, which could be really, really interesting. But that's what makes this tournament great. Matchups you normally don't get, and stuff that happens that normally didn't happen. So that's what's cool about the NCAA tournament.
Last year, 8 of the 14 teams from the SEC, the most ever from the SEC, made it to the NCAA tournament. This year was 7, the second most ever. What do you feel like is going to happen with the SEC teams over these 2 days? You're looking at 7-0, 6-1. What do you feel like Florida's got a tough match later on as a 10 seed going up against Nevada as 7 seed. How do you think the SEC will fare over these first round games today and tomorrow?
Well, I think everybody to win but Florida. I have a lot of respect for Nevada. They're coached by Eric Musselman, who I got to know when he was an assistant with the Grizzlies. Of course, he eventually ended up at LSU as Johnny Jones' assistant on their last NCAA tournament team. Just a basketball junkie and a real great defensive coach. And I have a lot of respect for him. I don't know if Florida gets past the first round, honestly. This Nevada team is pretty good. People said they've underachieved this year, but they're still underachieved. They're pretty good. Who gets to the Sweet 16 out of this league? I look at the matchups, but I'm sure I can say Tennessee and Kentucky will. LSU might. Mississippi State has been playing well enough that they can get there. Ole Miss will have a tough, past Oklahoma will have a tough second round matchup. With the number one seed, I believe. So
I think that will give, by the way, an 8-1, if we are talking Ole Miss versus Virginia, yeah. I think that will be the biggest test for a one seed in the round of 32.
Yeah, I agree. Because, Ole Miss, they have a really bunch of good athletes, and a lot of them can shoot. I mean, inside now they can shoot. They got some guys with length that can bother you. So that could be a problem for Virginia. Ole Miss takes care of business, but Oklahoma and moves on. Yeah.